take your seats for just a second. Bump your neighbor and say, the service is just getting started. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, guys. I hope that's not the end. I for sure want to worship a bit more today. Well, thank you to all the visitors that are joining us this morning. It's fantastic to have you with us. We've been looking forward to this album launch for a couple of months now. And it's just been fantastic to see the journey that James and the team have been on and to experience the end product. And the end product is not music per se. It's not a CD or a cassette, Derek. it certainly isn't. The end product is that we get to worship and encounter God like we did this morning. And that's what it's all about. And it's fantastic to just to experience the Lord's presence together. And James is going to share just a short word with us just around the songs, around the album, the story of the album. But before he does it, I just asked Derek and Johnny and Aaron and Vessel if they would just come forward. Louis, you need to come here as well. Where's James? James, you guys come up here as well. I just asked them to pray for the three of us. We're a mission team that are leaving on Tuesday. Myself and James and Louis and other guys in the band that are not here this morning. We're leaving to India for about 5 days. We're going to present what we call a school of worship there. It's a school that that we started about 3 years ago, and we've had the privilege of teaching that in South Africa and abroad as well. But we're going to India as well. I think you can pray for us. I've never been to India, but they say it's very exciting and quite overwhelming. So we're leaving on Tuesday, and the principle just is that we are sent this morning, and I just felt it's important that you as a church pray over us and send us the leaders that are standing proxy here on your behalf, just to bless us and to send us, and then obviously to receive us back again. But just to bless our time there. We're going to be working with a bunch of worship leaders, a bunch of pastors that are coming together in Delhi. Yeah, it's quite hot there as well. But we're not allowed to wear shorts, they say. It's about 40 degrees, but you have to dress up. It's very exciting. So I'll just ask the leaders if they will pray for. What's that, Rosita? I thought you cracked a joke there. So I'm just going to ask the leaders if they'll pray for us and just bless us and send us. We gaan eerst op het Derek.
We pray for missionary stomachs. First or last? Father, we just thank you that we can bring Richard and James and the whole team before you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, they go in your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, you say in the word that because you died and rose again, all authority has been given to you. And you tell us to go. And because all authority is given to you, you've given it to us. Whether it's Franschhoek or Delhi, Lord Jesus. So we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that Richard and James and the team will go in the full authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, and that wherever any one of their footsteps take hold, that your kingdom will come, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that your anointing will follow each one of them, wherever they go, whatever they do, in all the work they do, in everything they share, in all their ministry, and in all the time that they don't even think they're ministering. May they minister fully 24/7 in the anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. We plead the protection of your blood, Lord Jesus, over every one of them and over all they have, all of their possessions. We pray that you will keep them safe. Lord, we joke about the food, but it's different food. I pray, Lord, that you will protect them, protect their bodies from anything that they may not be accustomed to, Lord Jesus. And keep them safe, keep them whole so that they can minister properly, Lord. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will bring each one of them safely back to us and their families. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Vader, Here, terwyl U dan nou vir hulle, Here, die oproep gee, Here, om te gaan. Here, sit ons as die kerk se verantwoordelike, Here, om gedurig deur 24 uur, Here, vir hulle in voorbidding te doen, Here. Here, maar ons gebed vanmôre is, Here, U is die asem en die teenwoordigheid van God binne in elke een van hulle, Here. Here, wanneer hulle sal swak word, weet ons, Here, dat die krag van U in hulle volbring sal word, Here. En openbaar U, Here, elke een van hulle, openbaar U, Here, op 'n wonderlike wyse, Here, dat die heerlikheid wat Moses aanskou, Here, op elke een van hulle sal wees, Here. Wanneer hulle sal ingaan, Here, in die veld, in Here, weet ons, Here, die krag van U, Here, binne elke een van hulle. Here, ons bless hulle, salf hulle, Here, seën hulle, in Jesus naam. Amen.
Amen. Ek wil net Psalm 16 vers 8 vir u hulle voorhou. Dit daar staan geskrywe, ek stel die Here altyd deur voor my. Met hom aan my regterhand sal ek nie wankel nie. En waar u ook al gaan, dis 'n onbekende vallei, maar weet net, Jesus is daar reeds vooruit om julle paaie gelyk te maak en julle te beskerm. Al wat julle moet doen is om in sy toekoms in te stap. Amen. Kom ons sluit ons oë. Vader, ons loof en ons prys U, Here. Ons sê dankie, Vader, dat daar mense is, Here, wat gewillig is om U woord, Here, na die onbekende te vat. En ek bid vanmôre, Here, dat U hulle sal omgord en bekragtig met U woord. Dat U altyd, Here, voor hulle sal uitbeweeg. Dat hulle U sal volg, Vader, soos 'n skaap sy herder, Here. En dat hulle sal weet, Here, U beskerm, U lei, U voorsien, Here, en U maak by mekaar. Here, U sê, voordat ons spreek, Here, weet U reeds wat ons sê. En Here, ek bid vanmôre, Here, dat hulle, Vader, die woord, Here, en die Vader, wat hulle ook al gaan doen, Here, dat hulle het sal doen, Here, met die wete dat U is altyd met hulle, Vader. En Here, ek vra vanmôre, Here, Vader, dat Here, hulle nie sal vrees nie, Here, of hoef bang te wees nie, maar dat weet, Here, U is met hulle, my God. En Here, hulle gaan vanmôre die goeie woord bring. En Vader, die woord sê, Here, hoe lieflik klink die voetstappe van hom wat die goeie boodskap bring. En Here, dankie dat ons weet, Here, met U, Vader, kan ons alles vermag, Here. Maar sonder U is ons niks staat nie, Here. En ek bid vanmôre, Here, dat U hulle net daardie liefde sal gee vir hulle medemens, Here. Daardie liefde sal gee vir dit wat hulle vanmôre aan ons kon bewys het met sang, Here. Maar ook vir ander, Here, wat dit nog nie soos ons gehoor het nie, Vader. En ek bid, Here, dat daar harte sal oopgaan, Here, dat hulle ontvanklik sal wees vir die worship, Here, en dat hulle as veranderde mense, Here, uit daardie auditorium sal uitstap, Here, en U sal wil aanneem, Vader, sodat U hulle kan verlos, Here, van dit wat hulle vang. En ek vra, Here, Vader, dankie, Here, vir gewillige harte wat vanmôre hier staan en bereidwilligheid, Here, om U diens te doen. In Jesus' naam. Amen.
Just want to say amen to this. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Wonderful. I'm not going to do a long introduction because we really want to hear what's on your heart. I could say so much about James. I've known him for many years. And yeah, I'll do that when I invite you again to preach. But just to say, we're proud of you and the team for what you guys have produced. And we're just so inspired and we are blessed and fed by these songs. So thanks for blessing us this morning.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, church, for having us. I know you didn't have an option, but thank you for joining in. It's always difficult in times like this. I sort of wonder, is there any point in preaching because God's already come and spoken so clearly in our time of worship? And I really believe God has already done so much in our hearts. Let's pray before we read together. Yes, God, you are the Prince of Peace. And you silence every fear. And you quiet the storm and the wind and the waves. And we thank you for moments like this in your presence, God, where we're just so aware of your tangible presence amongst us. God, and we love your word. We pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. And Holy Spirit, we humble ourselves before you. Spirit of God, that you would speak and we would have the grace to hear what you're saying. And we wouldn't just be hearers, God, that we would be doers of your word this morning. Come and shape us, come and change us, come and transform us, make us more like Christ. We thank you for the joy of being in your presence, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So thank you so much, Pastor Richard and Jolene. I don't know where she is at the moment. But thank you. And thank you, church, for having us. It's really a blessing to be here. I'm not going to speak for long because I know we spent a bit longer maybe in our time of worship. But I do have an encouragement for you that's on my heart. And it's basically, we're going around to a lot of the congregations, 16 in the space of 3 months. So we're getting to know one another well. And they're getting to know this message really well because I'm saying the same message at each church. But really just, we come with... And this is not so much about an album launch or about a CD, but we really believe that this is a word in season to behold God. And so that's all I want to share very quickly about this morning is what does it mean to behold? Because I know it's not necessarily a word that we use a lot. Anybody used the word behold in the last week besides referring to the launch or the album? No, Jason did. But Jason does things like that. He's Nigerian. but so the title of the album, Behold, it actually came from the song that we sang a little bit of right at the end of the worship, Behold the Lamb. And that song started in free worship, actually. A friend of mine, Greg Boy, he and I write a lot of songs together. And last year, a few years ago, he was based in Shofar, Cape Town. And one evening, in the time of spontaneous worship, they just started singing this over and over. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. And so they just started singing this line over and over. And then, thankfully, the guy who was doing sound that night, he had his phone and he made a quick audio recording. And Greg sent that to me. And I had some verses that I was looking for a chorus for. And it was this perfect match. And actually, Richard, one day we got together for a bit of a songwriting workshop. And Richard came up with the bridge, which is probably my favorite bridges of all time. We didn't sing it this morning. We'll have to sing it sometime. But we sing, Jesus, Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy. We're going to be singing that bridge in heaven. Maybe a different melody, but that's what we're going to be singing in heaven one day. And so that line that Greg was singing in free worship, Behold the Lamb, it comes from the first chapter of John, where John the Baptist, he's busy preaching in the wilderness, and people are coming to him, and people are repenting, and people are being baptized. And then this one day, imagine this moment. John, his whole life, he's lived to prepare the way for God, to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. And then the one day he sees Jesus coming. Imagine what he must have thought and what he must have felt, knowing that there's the end goal. That's all my preaching, all my teaching, all my years in the wilderness, it's for this moment where he says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says that to the people around him. And so when we're talking about beholding, we're talking about seeing. Speaking, you know, when John says, Behold the Lamb, he says, See the Lamb, take notice, consider the Lamb of God. And I know that when we speak about seeing God, it's sometimes a bit of a confusing concept, because none of us with our physical eyes have seen God. In fact, we cannot see God with our physical eyes. In Exodus 33, when Moses says to God, God, I want to see your glory, and God actually says to him, look, nobody can see my face and live. The reality is that this side of eternity, we wouldn't be able to contain it. Our bodies would not survive the encounter, because God is perfect. Holy and transcendent. He's pure. He's glorious. He's majestic. And we in our current state, we cannot see God for who he is and live. One day, we're going to see him fully. We actually sang that a little bit earlier this morning, there will come a day when our eyes will see him. And that's going to be a glorious day. Amen? When our eyes, when we physically, we see the King of Glory. Okay, but so we cannot see God in all of his fullness on this side of eternity. But what I love in Scripture is seeing so many examples of people who've seen glimpses of God. Or they've maybe had a vision, or they just had a revelation, or maybe sometimes in dreams, God reveals himself to people in dreams. And what I love doing, whenever I read that, of people meeting with God or seeing God, I always love to see what is their response. How do people respond when they've truly seen God? What is, because that's worship. Worship is a response. When we see the glory of God, we respond in worship. So I want to, if I want to be a worshiper, I want to know, how do people respond when they see God? And you can put that slide up. Here's just a few examples of how people respond when they see God in Scripture. Moses sees the burning bush, and then it says that he hides his face because he's afraid to look. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, has this awesome vision of God, and he sees the throne, he sees the angels that are flying around the throne, he sees God's, the train of God's robe that fills the temple. He hears the singing, holy, holy, holy. And it says that he is overwhelmed by his own sense of uncleanness. He's suddenly so aware that I am not meant to be here. He says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Job, same thing. You know, right at the end of Job, God asks Job a whole bunch of questions that Job cannot answer. Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I made this? Or where, have you seen the storehouses of snow? All of these amazing, beautiful pictures that God, these questions that God gives to Job, and Job cannot answer. And then at the end, Job says, you know, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen. And then it says that he despises himself and he repents in dust and ashes. Ezekiel sees a vision of God and he falls prostrate before God. Daniel also sees a vision. He faints. He basically falls unconscious before God just by receiving a vision of God. And then John in Revelation, he sees the ascended Christ. That those eyes with fire that we sang about this morning. And the hair that's as white as wool. And he falls at Jesus' feet as if dead. Is anybody picking up a bit of a trend here? Noticing that when we have a true revelation of God, and of his holiness, and of his glory, of his transcendence, we're suddenly aware of our complete inadequacy. We're aware of our complete, we cannot, we should not be in the same space he is, because he is so perfect. And we are all so aware of our own fallenness and shortcomings. But for Christ. This is the heart of the gospel. The fact that we do not deserve to be in the presence of God. We do not deserve to know him. We don't deserve to stand before him. But because God is a father, yes, he is holy and he's perfect and he's pure, but he's also a father. And he's a father who loved enough to make a way for us to get to know him, to make a way for us to see him. That's the heart of the gospel, is the fact that we shouldn't see God, we shouldn't know God, we don't deserve it, but he made a way for us. And then Scripture speaks about our spiritual eyes. So this side of eternity, we're maybe not seeing God with our physical eyes, but there's spiritual eyes. There's eye, we don't only see with the eyes of our that's in our heads. We see with the eyes of our understanding. We can read this together in the first chapter of Ephesians. This is Paul, and he's praying for the church in Ephesus. He prays this incredible prayer. I encourage you, if you ever don't know what to pray for somebody, just pray the prayers of Paul over them. It's really powerful. So Paul prays this in Ephesians 1. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Having the eyes of your hearts opened. That's what he's saying when he's speaking about enlightenment. So there's eyes in our hearts that need to be opened, that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you? What are the riches of his inheritance in the saints? What's the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his might? You don't have to stick up your hand, but I'm sure many of us have experienced that moment when our spiritual eyes have been opened, where we suddenly realize this is the God that we serve, and this is the hope that he's called us to. This is the inheritance that we have. This is the immeasurable greatness of his power that has saved us. That in that moment, and it happens in salvation, and I believe it continues, that God is constantly wanting to open spiritual eyes so that we can see him. And the amazing thing is it's nothing we can do. We can't open our spiritual eyes. It's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to see God. Again, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Are you all still with me this morning? Okay, awesome. Paul again speaking in 2 Corinthians 3, 18. He says, "We all with unveiled face are beholding the glory of the Lord." In other words, before we came to Christ, before Christ saved us, before Christ gave us his Spirit, we had a veil over us so that we couldn't see, so that we couldn't know, so that we could read Scripture, but it wouldn't mean anything to us. We could hear about God, but it would be as if somebody's speaking about a distant cousin, you know? It's not somebody that we know. But when Christ unveils us, we're able to behold. We're able to see the glory of the Lord. And what happens? We're being transformed into the same image. We're being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. It's a slow process. All of us know being transformed doesn't happen overnight. From one degree of glory to another. And this comes, again, this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who does this. So, we see this incredible invitation from God to know him. And to see him, that he wants to open our spiritual eyes to behold him and to live a life of beholding him, a life of being aware of his presence, being aware of who he is, knowing his character, knowing what he's done. We've been invited to see God. And yet at the same time, there's a constant war that is going on for our attention and for our affection. There's constantly other things trying to grab our attention. Other things trying to move our heart's affection towards them rather than God. This constant war for our attention and for our affection. And this war starts from the moment we wake up. I want you to think for a moment. What is the very first thing you thought of when you woke up this morning? Can you remember? For many people, it's coffee. For many people, it's the same worries we went to bed with last night, or the same worries we woke up with this morning. For many of us, it's maybe just a dull sense of no expectation for the day or for the week. For many of us, maybe it's fear of what is coming this week. For many of us, it's maybe we try to kind of psych ourselves up with other joys. It's all of these things that are constantly fighting for our attention, fighting for our affection. From the moment we wake up, when we go to work or to school or wherever you're going, when we come home in the evenings and we've got an opportunity, you know, maybe you've got a free evening and you can decide what you're going to do with your time. There's a constant war for our attention and for our affection. And on one hand, it's the obvious things. It's, you know, it's the things of this world that try to seduce us and try to draw us. But in many cases, it's also the good things in our lives that are trying to draw our attention, or that have the temptation of drawing our affection away from God. It's the gifts of God. And in themselves, they are good gifts. The relationships that God has blessed us with, the workplaces that God has blessed us with, the sense of ambition and drive and direction and vision, you know, where we believe we're on our way somewhere. So, good things that God gives us. But they cannot take the place of God in our lives. They cannot take that throne that is reserved for him only. And so what happens is we're living distracted lives. We're living constantly filling our time with a thousand things. Multitasking lives. don't know about you, when I'm working with a computer, I've normally got about 5-10 different pages or apps open, and I'm constantly going between them. We're constantly moving from one thing to the other. I heard somebody say the other day that we've lost the ability to be bored. Isn't that true? If we don't have anything to do, we'll fill our time with something to do. We cannot be still anymore. And we live busy lives. Now I am going to ask for a show of hands. Let's see how honest you're going to be with me. When somebody asks you, how are things going? How many of you say something along the lines of busy? Huh? Yeah, drijvig. It's definitely not that for you, hey? Or otherwise, maybe in front shook and everybody is just very relaxed. And I know for myself, 9 times out of 10, that is the response I hear from people. How's it going with you? Oh, busy, it's busy, it's busy. And then I start to give that answer as well. I even find when I'm not busy, I just say busy because that's what I'm used to saying. So we take this state of constant distraction into the presence of God, into our intimate times with God. And we feel like, okay, I've got 15 minutes, I've got half an hour with God now. We try to shut off those noises, but we are so distracted. We are so busy. And yet, there's an invitation to behold Him. It's an invitation to see Him. And obviously, I'm not speaking about just when we spend 15, 20 minutes or half an hour with Him. I'm speaking about living a life of being aware of His presence. One of my all-time favorite stories, is just so challenging. Dr. Corne Becker, he's spoken at many of our convergence conferences. He once told a story of taking a lady from a more conservative background to his charismatic church. And you know that when you invite somebody who's more conservative to your very loud, clappy church, then you kind of just pray, oh, Lord, may it be just a toned-down service today. I mean, nothing wild this morning. And so he took this lady to the church, and afterwards and apparently all hell broke loose, basically. There was manifestations, and the worship leader at one point kicked her shoes off, and she was lying on the stage, and it was just like, you know, everything happened. And so afterwards he said to her, Madge, you know, how was it for you? And surprisingly, she said, it was amazing. I loved it. She said, I loved the worship. I loved the word. I loved fellowship, everything. It was beautiful. There's one thing I have against it. Too many words. Too many words. We did so much talking, so much singing, so much declaring. When did we take the time to listen? Have a pause there for us to think about that for a second. But the danger is that we're numbing ourselves to true relationship with God and true relationship with one another. Numbing ourselves where we begin to run on autopilot. And that's not God's desire for us, to run on autopilot. God is wanting us to know Him intimately. We get distracted by the things that are going on around us, our circumstances, and I said this, I think, at the last time I preached here earlier in the year, in a message called Rejoice. And I said it at that time that for many people, you're maybe going through the most difficult thing you've ever been through in your life. You know, a lot of people going through really challenging circumstances. And a lot of the songs that were written on this album were actually written when the songwriters were going through very difficult times, personally or corporately, you know, as even as a church family, we've been through a rough few years. And the question is always, in those times, am I going to focus on the storm, or am I going to focus on Christ? What do we choose to behold in the midst of our difficulties? And so that's why I love just some of the lyrics. We bring our praise, another song of Greg's. Joan, you can put those words up. We bring an offering of praise to you. Our circumstances, what is going on around us, they don't determine the praise that is due. Through joy and tragedy, you're faithful and true. Through whatever we're going through, that does not take away from the fact that God is faithful and He's true. and there's an opportunity to bring our praise. Another of the songs, You Are the Potter. Many of you will remember Tamsin. She was in this church for a few years. She wrote most of the song. I will not be ashamed. No, I'll not be disappointed. In this life you give in both pain and in joy because you are just. God is just. So we never have to be ashamed and we never have to be disappointed. Disappointment is a big one. And so throughout this project, even for myself personally, there was a few times when I ran to Richard when I was freaking out, you know, this is going wrong and this is going wrong. Richard was my go-to. And he like thankfully just prayed with me and calmed me down. But there were so many opportunities when things go wrong for me to begin to become scattered and look elsewhere. And then God's question for me every time was the same. James, are you going to learn to behold? Are you going to learn to see me, to fix your eyes on me? And one of the songs that we actually sang this morning, Fix Our Eyes, the lyrics, we fix our eyes on you. You're holding our complete attention. And just that line, we fix our eyes, it's, I always say this, I didn't write it three times because I didn't know what else to write after the first line. You know, I can't think of anything that rhymes with you, so let's just repeat it three times. It's repeated because who knows that this is not something you say once. It's about culturing that attitude of the heart. God, I fix my eyes on you. Because then we get distracted. God, I fix my eyes on you. Constantly pulling our attention back to Christ. And of course, this song comes from Hebrews chapter 12. I'm nearly done. Are you all still with me? Awesome. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, one of my favorite scriptures of all time. I'm going to try and write as many songs as I can from the first three verses. Says, therefore we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. So let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. And let's run with endurance the race that's set before us. May this be an encouragement for you this morning. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. Looking to Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The founder and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. How do you not grow weary or faint-hearted? You consider him. You fix your eyes on him. And I also want to say this, even in the light of everything that's going on in our nation, where are our eyes fixed? I'm not denying that South Africa is going through very challenging times. I'm not denying the challenges. But all I'm asking is, in the midst of everything that is going on, where are our eyes fixed? And so that's the message of this album. It's a call to behold. It's a call to become still. It's a call to become present to God. And I'm not even going to mention, obviously the foundation of our beholding is the Word of God. That we cannot know God outside of His Word. So we see Him, we behold Him in His Word, and it's the Spirit of God that comes in and opens our spiritual eyes so that we can see Him for who He truly is. As we behold Him, it's the Spirit of God that transforms us, who makes us more into the image of Christ. That is good news, amen? But as we behold Him, that's what Paul said. As we behold, as we, with unveiled face, we're seeing His glory and we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And it's only when we behold Him that we actually begin to get a sense of who we are as well. We cannot truly know ourselves outside of knowing God. Who we are only makes sense in the context of who God is. Why? Because He's the one who made us. He's the author of our lives. And it's the Spirit of God who speaks the truth into our hearts of who we really are. And this is what I'm going to end off with. Who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Romans 8, 15 to 16. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. This is who we are. We are sons of God. We are children of God. Sons of God obviously applies to the ladies as well. Biblically, in the biblical context of sonship, meaning sons were given authority. Sons were given an inheritance. Sons were given the ability to be ambassadors on behalf of their father. So God comes and says, you're not a slave, you're not an orphan, you're a son. And so this is my last encouragement for us, church, is to worship like a son. It's a phrase that God just came and dropped in my heart one day, somewhere over the process of making this album. James, worship like a son. And it sounds simple, but it's profound. It changes everything. When we understand that I don't come into God's presence as I studied a science degree as a scientist, or now I work for the church as a worship leader, or I've got a wife and a child, or as a husband. I don't come into God's presence by what I do. Welcomed and accepted because of what I do or who I am. I come into His presence as a son. And for each one of us, if I had to ask you, who are you? Tell me about yourself. So many times we would start with the things that we do. You know, our careers, or we would start with where we come from, or our culture. I'm an Afrikaner, or I'm an Englishman, or I'm whatever. But we don't come into God's presence with that identity. Our identity is as a son of God. And the amazing thing is that a son never has to wonder if he's welcome in his father's presence. And praying for the service this morning, I really sense that God is wanting to lift just shame from our lives. A sense of feeling unworthy before Him. Because a son doesn't feel unworthy. A son knows that I've been made righteous. I've been given the same righteousness Christ had. I am as welcome as Christ is before the Father because of the blood of Christ that washes me clean. And so, you know, whether we're successful or whether we fail in life, that does nothing to add or to remove from our status as sons of God. It's our greatest identity. And that's why I love actually the song that we're going to end off this morning with, Holy. It's got the one verse which is just so simple. I remember when they sent me the song, I said, guys, in my head, I wanted to say, guys, the second verse is a bit simple. Can you come up with something a bit more interesting? But now it's actually one of my favorite verses on the whole album. No longer striving, in grace, now abiding. We're surrendered at your feet. That's the heart of a son. We don't perform our way into God's presence. We're surrendered. We're not striving. We're surrendered. It's the grace of God that allows us to enter in, to see Him, to know Him, to behold Him. And the band can come up. I'm just going to read this final scripture. You can actually close your eyes as I read the scripture. It's from Hebrews chapter 10. What an awesome promise for us. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, church, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Father, we want to thank You this morning for the work that You've already started, and I believe that You're going to continue just washing away that evil conscience, washing away those lies that we believe about ourselves, those lies that we believe about You, because You are a good Father who welcomes us. You're a good Father who loves us. And when we stand before You, You don't see our shortcomings. You don't see those things that we're so aware of, God. You see us through the blood of Christ. And we are righteous before You. We thank you this morning, God, for the gift of righteousness. Jesus, we thank you for the lengths that you went to achieve righteousness for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to strive. Thank you the way that you wash away that unworthiness. This morning we're going to sing. We're going to end off this morning with the song "Holy." And after that, I'll just pass over to Pastor Richard. I just want to encourage you to respond to this message this morning in whatever way you need to respond. Maybe you know that whenever you enter God's presence, there's just such, you're so distracted. There's so much going on in your mind. You struggle to be still. Maybe you need to sit and be still during the song, not even sing with, or kneel before God. Kneeling before God is just such a beautiful symbol of humbling ourselves before Him. Just say, God, teach me to be quiet. Teach me to quiet my mind. Give me the grace to be still before you. Maybe you don't know God as your Father. Maybe you don't know Him as the one who welcomes you into your presence, that you have an expectation of punishment when you come to Him. And just pray, God, I want to understand what it means to be a son. I want to hear the Spirit crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit that you've given me, crying out, Abba, Father. Whatever way we need to respond this morning, let's just respond through the song. Whether you sing or whether you don't, it's not about singing a song. But let's respond to whatever the Father is speaking to us this morning. If you want to stand with us, you're welcome to stand as we sing this.
Father, this morning we come and we surrender, Father. We behold you, Father. We fix our eyes on you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, this morning we can echo the words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And I know the service has gone on a bit longer than normal, but I just want you to stay present for the next few minutes, because they're really important minutes. There's somebody here this morning that's perhaps going through that struggle, going through that storm that James spoke about, with the waves and the wind and all the distractions are screaming for your attention, and you're struggling to keep your eyes on the Lord in this time. And like Peter, you are overcome with fear, and as you see the waves, as you see the wind, you start sinking. Perhaps if you feel like that person that's sinking this morning, you're struggling to fix your eyes on Jesus' eyes. While every eye is closed, I just want you to slip up your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you there, right where you are. If you're going through a storm, there's a battle raging, just lift up your hands nice and high that I can pray for you. Thank you for those hands. So Father, I pray for every hand that's raised, every person that's responded. God, you know their storm. You know what is their challenge, Lord. You know the wind. You know the waves, Lord. You know the distractions. And yet you call us. Yet you call us out onto the water to do the impossible. And Father, this morning we acknowledge that the only way that we can do that is if we fix our eyes on you. And so we lock our eyes on you this morning. And Jesus, we behold you. And I pray that grace, I pray that anointing over every person that's in their storm this morning, over every person that's facing their challenge, their giant. And I speak over you, lock your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. And see the salvation of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then, very important, this morning, James said, we need to come and worship like a son. And a son is somebody who's acknowledged that they need the Lord Jesus, that they need the grace of Christ through the cross. And therefore the Son can come with no longer striving, but in grace abiding. And I want to ask you, as every eye is still closed, if you have not made that choice for Jesus and said, I want to be a son of the living God, this morning you have that opportunity to make a choice for Jesus. If you've never made that choice for Jesus, or you've backslidden and perhaps fallen into a lifestyle that you know is not right, you know you should be living in the fullness of God, and you've perhaps wandered away, the same invitation is extended to you this morning. If you need to say for the first time, Jesus, I choose you, and I choose to be a son this morning so that I can worship like a son. Or I need to come back to the Father as the Son. This morning, quickly raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise it nice and high that I can see. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else that needs to raise their hand? Thank you for those hands. Thank you for all those hands. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Amen. I'm going to dismiss the service now. And can we end with that song, Rejoice? I feel like rejoicing. And when we're done, I'd want to invite anybody who has prayer needs to come to the front, but especially the people that have made a commitment to Christ this morning, please come to the front. We're going to pray with you. We've got a little booklet that we want to hand out to you, and just get in touch with you, and just start a journey of sonship with you. So thank you, everybody, for hanging around a bit longer than normal. Please enjoy the fellowship and the coffee and the tea afterwards. But let's rejoice and just end this day by just rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Amen.